Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, gentle listeners. It is I, your humble host, Bill Hatch III, here for YWL Online. Anything can happen Saturday, and anything's going to happen. I'm joined in studio by my partner in crime, Rudy.
Wagga, 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 wagga. God bless you all. God is good.
And over the phone by my father, Chaplain Hatch. How you doing, Pop?
I'm doing very well. Good evening, Bloglandiers.
I haven't heard any voices in the background. Are you flying solo tonight?
Well, I am at the moment. I think Mom will come in a couple of minutes when she hears me talking like this. But she is busy with granddaughters and grandsons. I'm in work, so, and next week for that matter. We are definitely enjoying the family time here at wonderful Disney World Orlando. We have had one day in the park so far, and we're going back in tomorrow.
From one Disney city to another.
Yeah, that's it. We are coast to coast.
Coast to coast with the mouse that has the most. Oh,
okay.
Well, that introduction out of the way. Rudy had something that's been on his heart and wanted to go after that first, if you don't mind.
Don't mind a bit.
And God bless you all. Right now, my big thing is I'm not really praying no more. I talk to God every night to be a stronger relationship with him. But the reason is when I was praying for my wife, when she passed away, I feel that I have no prayers for anything no more, because I honestly feel maybe that she passed away because my prayers and my faith wasn't strong enough. And sometimes it's fear to pray for somebody because what if my faith or belief isn't strong enough and I don't want to harm anybody else. But I do love God and I know she's in heaven. But the big thing right now is I just talk to God at night every night, try to talk to him and tell him I get to know God better. But I really don't pray no more. And I just talk to God. And I'm hoping y'all can send in advice, or even the pastor can give me some good advice, and hopefully it helps all of us. Thank you, and God bless you all. There's way to the Father through the Son.
Okay. Well, shall I kick this off a little bit?
Sure, if you'd like to, although I think I'm qualified to be on part of it. Prayer is talking to God. So definitely you can't say you haven't been praying if you've been talking to God every night.
Absolutely correct.
As to the rest of it, I think I would definitely bow to more experienced hands as far as that goes.
Well, first of all, no one's prayers are any better than anyone else's. When we are talking to God, we are praying, as you said, and to be able to understand God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we expect him to answer them. And we have to be open to the different ways. Too often when we are quote unquote stopping everything and praying and not just talking to God, we end up running through our list of needs for us and others, but not listening to the answers and responses God has for us. That's why talking to God is much better than trying to do a structured prayer time. Can you tell? Mrs. Hatch is in the room. Prayer is not a monologue. It is
a monologue. It's a dialogue. You talk and you listen.
And that is an important way to do it. Also, prayer time should be throughout the day.
Amen.
Not just at night. There is a certain chaplain on the show right now who will otherwise remain anonymous. At night, if I wait and try to pray too much at the end of the day, I fall asleep before I'm done. And not only that, but waiting till at night only means that I forget things that I've done earlier in the day that should have been prayed for immediately at the time, or at least in that general time frame.
a friend of mine asked me earlier to keep me in his prayers, and just to make sure I didn't forget, I went ahead and prayed for him right there on the spot.
That is a good thing. Of course, one of the things I also tell people when they say, "Chaplain, pray for me," I said, "Well, I certainly will pray for you, but you know, my prayers won't do any good if you're not praying to God about them also." Make them a little bit more aware. It's not just something for other people to do. We have to do it for other people and for ourselves. And we have to listen to what God says and respond. Usually God has three answers to prayer. He says yes, he says no, and he says not yet. But also to know the bigger picture. And I love Leah and the fact that I know faithfully she's with God. And for those of us who are left here back and hurting over her passing, God still knows a bigger picture than we do. And we have to say that he was keeping her from further pain and taking her out of that pain. And it's sometimes difficult for us to accept it because we miss her. I am getting some background noise from here, and I'm not sure what it is. I hope the broadcast isn't getting it as well.
I'm not hearing it on this end. Does it sound like anything in particular?
Well, yeah, but I would hope it wasn't. It sounds like somebody playing with poker chips. That's exactly what it sounds like.
No, I don't have anything like that.
Okay, and neither do we here. Rudy, is that touching on the topic, or is there more you want to, not the poker chips, but the prayer points? Is that covering some of what you were wondering about?
And I think that is true. It is my human heart, and I do love everybody. I honestly wish I could help a million people in this world that we could find that. But I know what it is that's hard is because I know no matter what happens, I lost somebody I really love. And I keep getting through life. And so I think now that she's done, I really do feel like I'm lost because she did a lot of things for me. We fought a lot, we argued a lot, but then we realized that at the end that we were meant for each other and we loved each other. And it just feels like I'm lost because she did everything for me. And it's kind of hard because now I'm just trying to catch up on things or even trying to learn things. And most of the time I just try not to think about it, but then it does come to me because, I'm lost without it.
Well, it is by remembering those things about Leah is truly an important point for everybody to say is we remember by our love. And that's how we're actually going to be recognized in heaven because we all get new bodies, literally. But I don't think they're going to be physical bodies like we have. Me, I hope to be taller like all three of my sons when I get up to heaven. But I don't know what the body is going to look like. But I do know that I will be able to recognize Leah by love. And I'll be able to recognize my wife, Eileen, by love, my mom's still here, so my dad, you know, I'll be able to recognize those folks by love. And we're going to, I think, know everybody else's stories and relevant to us when we get up there. And so that's important to be able to say that. You know, it's like, I miss so many things. Yes, we do. We miss them because of the love that was shared between. And therefore, it's just the way it is. I remember my grandma taking me to Sunday school and church every week that I was visiting them. I also remember that in church, she'd give me a wintergreen lifesaver. I remember that. And I remember it out of love that she was actually getting me to sit still in church to learn more about God. And she'd do it with a wintergreen lifesaver.
How You didn't like wintergreens for so long.
And for a long time I wouldn't, but I'm back to wintergreens now anyway. But that's a different matter entirely. But that's the kind of attitude we have to be able to go forward with. Yes, we have to pick up some of the loose ends, Rudy. You got to make sure that you're paying the bills like Lisa used to do for you. And I would be lost if Eileen were not around to take care of my bills. I hate to think what would happen. But that's, you know, we face those things day at a time. And with God's Spirit, we face them a little bit better every day at a time. But don't worry about the content of prayers. It doesn't have to be structured such as the Lord's Prayer, which is a really great prayer for people to work on. And to follow the pattern, not necessarily all the words, is important. But pray and talk to God throughout the day.
And it can be as simple as one word, two words, three words. It doesn't have to be a paragraph, an epiphany.
Right.
God, help me, is all he needs to hear. And groanings, that's what you're
the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and turns them into moanings and groanings that are beyond words, because the Holy Spirit takes what's on our heart.
Yeah.
Much more than our syllables. You know, we have to definitely realize that. So don't worry about content as much as the intent. And a conversation is two-way. Dialogue, not just monologue.
Thank you. I want to tell all the listeners, when we're all in heaven one day, I'll introduce you to my beautiful wife.
Hmm.
Oh, speaking of listeners, if we're to the next thing.
Yes, sir. Sure. And God bless you all.
I went to a mixer last night put on by the Placentia Chamber of Commerce. And met a young man by the name of Christian Esteban, who works for a group called Hoya Scholars. They help students in the Orange County area who are underserved and have needs. They help them, and just wanted to give a quick shout out because he said he was going to listen tonight. So go ahead and leave a comment there, Christian.
By all means, please do.
Thank you for helping the kids going to college.
Yep. Make the world a better place.
Yes, sir.
See, we're going to fill in a whole bunch of stuff tonight, aren't we?
It could be. Might as well put in, remind everyone that we do every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Pacific time. We do a verse-by-verse study, and we are going through the letter of James. We are well into the first chapter,
mm-hmm.
and everybody tune in.
Yeah, 8 p.m. right here, 8 p.m. Wednesday nights right here on Blog Talk Radio, definitely hope you'll tune in. And remember, all of our old episodes are archived for your listening enjoyment, and both Wednesday nights and Saturday nights. We just finished up our study on the 3:16 of the Bible. And I think it was a lot of fun, and would certainly point you in that direction to listen to that, if you have nothing else to listen to, so, meaning us right now. So wait until after the show's over, and then you can go to the archives.
And you know how I feel in life? I actually feel that God is treating me special, and I hope everyone has that feeling, even though I know God treats all of us good. But sometimes I feel like God is always focused on me in life, and I hope you all feel that too. Because I get, it's not to pray, because it's always to God's gift. Sometimes at work, Sometimes at work, I'll buy somebody like a lunch that I think that maybe they need it, or, and that's not, and I'm not bragging because the only reason I'm doing this. And then I feel that God blesses me to even do that, and I feel that God blesses me even to pick the person to do things for. And what it is I promise to God, it's not bragging because you are the Lord. And what it is, I'm glad God gives me that. And then when people tell me, I just tell him, you know what? When I get, I want to give blessings because you can't have a box full of blessings overflowing because then you got to pick them up and clean them up. So whatever you need 10 blessings for yourself, that extra 10, you pass them out to people. And God loves us. That's why God gives us extra blessings so we can give. So when them people get their extra blessings, they pass it along. The next thing you know, the whole world is blessed because one little movement that we all do, and forgive me, God, I wasn't bragging about things that I do for you, and I hope if it isn't sin, I ask for forgiveness. I love you, God.
Okay. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you all right, yeah. Just so everybody knows, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty right then, but looks like we got it resolved without too much fuss.
Yeah.
The fun of internet radio.
Well, the fun is there indeed, especially when we are sharing our beliefs in God's kingdom and Jesus as his Savior and Lord.
Amen.
So,
is it bad that I did mention that? Because I do feel weird about mentioning. Because all my blessings that I try to give to people, I wanted to keep them secret because it always should be between me and God. And I hope it's not bad that I do because it's not boasting for me. And can you help me on that one?
To ask for other people's opinions about beliefs and issues that are related to God's kingdom is never wrong.
That makes sense?
Yeah, because I don't ever want to brag because it's not coming from me anyway. It's coming from God.
We can brag in Christ.
That's what it is.
Yes. Paul could boast in Christ. We can as well.
Yep.
And we should be able to share with others the things that we are doing in our walk with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a difference, I think, between bragging, you know, between talking about a thing that you're doing, like, say, fasting, because that's a very specific example in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, where Jesus says, don't go, you know, if you're fasting, don't go out and look like you're fasting. You know, don't go out and go, oh, I'm so hungry and look pale and forlorn and all that kind of stuff. You know, to look good when you're going out. But he doesn't say, don't say to anybody, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm fasting. You know, they might offer you something to eat. You know, oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm on a fast. You know, and you can discuss it even. But it's the whole, you know, it's like making a deal out of it that becomes the problem.
Yes. Good descriptor, good example.
I hit one every now and again.
Smart aleck. Yes, you do.
That's your son, Bill. Can't deny it.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, we're well into the showtime.
We are. Well, I was kind of thinking this might take more than one episode anyway.
Yes, it absolutely will. We're talking maybe about creation and science, the Bible and science, and I'll start off with a very small remote one as an example.
Okay.
Most everybody who's listening has heard of the statement, by the skin of your teeth. It has been around in society for a long time. It's found in Job chapter 19, verse 20. And now that's the Bible, Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
We believe all the way back Job was somewhere around a contemporary of Abraham. So we're talking some 3,000, 3,500 years ago. It was written, and Job is talking about the skin of their teeth. Modern dental science, Job 19, verse 20. I put it in the text to you. Job 19, 20 talks about it. Job says it. Dental science did not realize that there was such a thing until either the late 60s or early 70s, I'm not sure which, but they finally figured out that the film that we feel in the morning on our teeth is actually the result of skin growing overnight. And skin's continually growing over the teeth. We brush our teeth because that skin, like any other type of flesh, will decay between the teeth and cause cavities. So, yes, we should all be brushing our teeth. But the point is that 3,500 years ago, Job knew about the skin of the teeth. Science is just now catching up to that realization. Will science ever say, oh, yeah, look at silly us? Here it was in the Bible a long time ago. Well, we're going to be looking at some of those things perhaps over the next couple of weeks. But they're primarily based after this. We'll focus on chapter 1 of Genesis. And we will, of course, never just do that portion of it. Looking at science examples, because there's much more to glean out of it while we are. So if we have time, we'll start with some of that gleaning that's not referencing science, but is referencing how thorough the Bible is if we will look at it. And we're going to start with Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2.
Okay.
If that's all right. As I pick up my other phone, which has now closed down because I waited too long. Actually, if you have it, you can read the first two chapters of Genesis.
First two chapters?
First two verses of the one chapter. Everybody's a critic.
In the here in the Amplified version, there are a lot of notes here.
Cool.
Well, you can look at the notes and share them as we go along.
Let's see. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created by forming from nothing the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, or a waste and emptiness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, primeval ocean that covered the unformed earth. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters.
Okay. That's terrific. I'm glad we're starting at the beginning to show the relevance of the Bible as the Bible.
Yeah.
It says, in the beginning, God.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 2, it says, the Spirit of God.
Right.
Not God himself or entirety was hovering over the waters, but a portion of God.
Absolutely.
Like the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. Yes, the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit. We've just learned to attach the way the words change. But this is literally God in verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spirit of God, that means to me a part of God, was hovering over the deep. All right? Now, there are two New Testament readings that we should look at in keeping with this. First John. No, let's do the Gospel of John. And then, sorry, I'm dropping my phones again. Doing John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Maybe three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was God. Again, showing a portion of what we call God, the Word of God, which we know is going to turn into Jesus in a minute. He was with God in the beginning. Shows three parts to me. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. All one God. But just three different ways that God has revealed himself to us. I also like verse 3 of this one because through him, meaning the Word, meaning Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made.
Right. You know, I've actually seen that verse before. In discussion with someone who had some weird theories about Satan creating some of the stuff that's been found scientifically, and I'm like,
in order to fool us into thinking that that something other than the Bible is authoritative. And I whipped out John 1:3, and that was basically the end of the discussion. It was not a very well thought out theory.
You're right. He didn't think it out very well at all.
No.
And
there is actually one thing that I would disagree with here in the Amplified.
Okay.
One of the little bracketed things that they say to try to help give extra definition. It says
sure.
In the beginning, and then then what they've added before all time. Maybe it's a little semantical, but nothing existed before time, because before is an eminent something that evolves out of time. Before moment one, there is nothing. There's no before. There's no before until the second moment. Then the first moment came before. There's no zero.
Well,
there's no before the first moment. It's a quality of time. So if time didn't exist, there can't be a before.
I wonder. Let me give a very rudimentary example that may not work for you, but at least it's something to try to conceptualize.
Yeah.
In your mind's eye, draw a big circle. Have you drawn the big circle in your mind?
I've drawn a big circle in my mind.
Okay, now inside the circle, without touching it, draw a straight line.
Inside the circle, okay.
But don't touch the circle, just inside of it.
Don't touch the circle. Hold on.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry about
Who's
that.
Unhappy?
What was that?
Oh, some of the dogs saw something outside. Sorry about that, everybody.
Okay, so with that circle and with that line, rudimentarily speaking, imagine the circle is God and the line is time.
Okay.
Okay, all time, that as we see it, is within God, but it's not all of God that's
right.
Still there.
Right.
That's the concept I try to use. Not saying that you have to follow that one. But time is, and we definitely will get into time next week, because it's part very much in verses 3 and following, sorry, as we start talking about time and Bible to see that whole difference. And yes, there are brackets continually existing in the beginning and co-eternally with God as the Spirit from John 1:1.
Yeah, trying to think of in concepts of timelessness and eternal and all those kinds of things for us time-bound and finite beings who, but each of us began our existence in the middle of someone else's existence, and we will end our existence in the middle of other people's existences. It's difficult to conceive of somebody without a before,
yes,
and without an after to go to the other end of it. But since we're to the last 90 seconds of the regular part of the show, let's go ahead and take a break real quick to do the Sinner's Prayer, and then we'll return to some of this in the archive portion of the show. So you all will have to come back later to hear a little bit of our discussion tonight, and then we'll get on with things. So if you've come this far, dear listener, then perhaps you'll go a little further with us. We belong to the family and body of Christ. We are Christians. We try to be little Jesuses, little Christ, and live our lives in a certain way that's supposed to be better, and really is, even though it doesn't always look that way. And we get into that by doing a little thing called the Sinner's Prayer. And it's a simple thing, goes by pretty quick. So if you'll join with me. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I turn me from my wicked ways, wash my heart as clean as snow, as white as snow. Help me to walk in your path and to be a better person, loving my God and loving other people.
and be in my heart forever. And all these things and more we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. And now we're
going to see you in the archives and see you on Wednesday night.
Yep.
Actually hear you or hear us Wednesday night.
Oh, no, we can see you.
Okay.
But
so
anyway.
Time will be something that we're looking at.
Yes,
but
it will be.
Realize that from the very beginning of Genesis chapter 1, we have room for a concept of a God that we see in different reflections. And I really like the fact that it starts off from the very beginning. And yes, John gives it in the other perspective, that Jesus, who is our Savior and Lord, is responsible even for our creation and our salvation. And he was there from the beginning with God, and nothing. Satan can absolutely create nothing.
Right.
And that's the first two verses.
He can claim whatever he wants.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm backing out of my Amplified and going back to NIV because that's the one I really like to use.
Yeah, NIV is a good version, especially for people not some of the heavy language.
Yes. God, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. This is where we start getting into time frames. There are some dear, devout Christians and Jewish believers, too, who say that the world is 5,779 years old.
Is that correct?
Some others try to break it down to the month and day, but I didn't research into that for this broadcast. I didn't see much reason to.
Yeah, I didn't do a whole lot into that either.
I'm glad. And more importantly, it's light and darkness pre-exist the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the
S-U-N,
okay.
Sun.
Yep.
Thank you, Mrs. Hatch. Now, the sun up in the sky. there are those dear people who want to take the Bible as a day-by-day example, and that's the way it was. The 6 days of creation and the 7 days because of the day of rest, but that they were all 24 hours long. No, that is not what the Bible has ever said.
These people are generally known as young earth creationists. They're
okay.
The ones who believe that the Bible is about that the world is about 5,000 or so years old, that that it's a literal one day, one night, 6 day creation, and just to make sure the people who are following along in their book can know what we're talking about.
And that is where some will try to say that all the dinosaur bones are just temptations put around, scattered by Satan,
mm-hmm.
to try to throw people off from their faith. Wrong again, because Satan can't create dinosaur bones, so he can't fake us out that way.
Right.
We will get into a little bit into the possibility, not the possibility, the existence of dinosaurs later on in the chapter. But mm-hmm. to look and to say, okay, day one was just the creation and division of light and darkness. God is light. And again, because we don't have a good concept other than our earthly realm and our current sun, I can't imagine how the light of God would not shine on us 24/7, if I can use earthly talking creationism. I can't see how there would be darkness with God's light everywhere, but it's stated that there is. God created light and darkness, and he separated them. But what does it say at the end of verse? Just a minute, I lost it. At the end of verse 5. Bill, would you read that for us, the last sentence?
The last sentence? And the
of verse 5?
Verse 5. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
Yes. Throughout the Bible, days don't start at midnight and they don't start in the morning.
Right.
They start in the evening. So technically, yeah, sundown, thank you. Technically, right now, it is Sunday for all of us.
Right. Because we can see the first, well, yeah, we still got a little tiny bit of sunshine, but yeah,
sundown, sunset. You're right. So in Hawaii, we wouldn't be able, if we had one in Hawaii, we couldn't say that because it would still be Saturday. But we look at sundown each night. It is evening and morning. First day. All throughout the Bible, we find that days actually start at sundown, not the next morning the way we do it here in the world today. But it's fun to be able to look at those things and say, wow, there's time questions all over. You know, how long was it? 24 hours? I mean, God could do that. But I don't believe he did.
Right.
If we can go forward, again, this is just food for thought for everyone who's looking and interested. If you lay out the order of the Bible, just in Genesis, which is quite extensive, there are genealogies that are stated and given. Some people believe that they are an exact chronological keeping of every generation. I do not believe that personally until we get to Abraham.
Mm.
Before Abraham, it seems to me like they are highlights. They are particularly people who stood out in the history of the world.
That makes sense.
And to give that as an example, if you lay down the time frame, Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years old, yes, I believe it was regular 969 years. I don't want to imagine it, but that's what it says. But if you lay it out in an exact point, Methuselah either died the month before Noah's flood, or he died in the flood.
Yeah, I've noticed that one before. The other names right about there work out about the same way.
Well, his in particular.
Yeah.
Noah's father, who was Methuselah's grandson, I think, at that point.
Yeah, grandson.
I don't remember now if Noah was a great-grandson or a grandson of Methuselah, or a great-great for that matter. But anyway, Noah's daddy died before that. Flood.
Right. He was the one that didn't die, definitely did not die in the flood.
Yeah. But Methuselah either died the month before or he died in the flood. And
right.
I would think that that would be rather an important thing to bring out if it had been. But that's important to Bill, not necessarily important to God. And so we have those timing questions from the Old Testament. But I fully believe that the time frames are highlights of generations, people who stood out for one reason or another, or maybe because somebody in telling the story liked one grandfather better than another grandfather and talked about one of them and not necessarily showing all, because there's just no way things could have worked through that. There are going to be
Go ahead.
That makes a lot of sense to me, because Rudy and I were discussing things, and one of the things we talked about is it looks like from the content of the Old Testament that miracles and direct interactions with God and things like that happened every day, everywhere.
Yes.
But, and that today these things almost never happen. But my thinking's along the same lines, is that the Bible doesn't talk about everybody every day, and so it's talking about the highlights of, you know, hey, we need to mention that God talked with so-and-so, and that through so-and-so, God did this great thing, you know, through Moses, God parted the Red Sea, and all of those kinds of things. And so that it's probably not so different now than it was then. It's just that we don't have pages upon pages of God not performing miracles and people not having, you know, conversations with God like on a telephone.
Yeah. But our telephone is our heads, hearts, and hands in prayer.
Yes.
Okay, but definitely want to get that across, that the day begins at sundown,
right,
every day, and goes on forward. And we've gotten away from that practice. Mm-hmm.
Just goes to show you why the intention of the Wednesday night Bible study is so important, is that in Genesis, day started at the new day started with the evening before daylight, and we don't do that anymore. It's just such a simple, it's a simple seeming difference, but it's important, and that's why we go through a lot of minutia in the Wednesday night Bible study, is to find those things, to discover the parts that we don't have anymore, that we don't use, you know, we don't use the number seven to mean complete anymore. We don't use evening as the beginning of a new day. We start our new day in the morning when the sun breaks.
Yes. And when we break our fast from not eating throughout the night, when we get up for breakfast.
Right.
And break that fast. I have 11:42. Is there anything? I don't want to start with the next.
No, I did want to go over something really quickly so that people understand. Even though there will be differences in our opinions, in our thought processes, that one thing we definitely agree on is that Jesus is Lord. There is a triune God, one God and three persons, that we call the Trinity, that the Bible is true, although we may have differences of opinion as to how factual it may be at certain points, and that however much we may disagree with each other, it's not really as important as what we agree on. You know, whether or not the Earth was created in seven literal days, 24-hour days, or not, whether or not anything really, it isn't as important as the fact that tomorrow morning we're going to get up and head out to church and worship God, and we'll do that even though we won't be physically together to do that, we will be together in spirit.
Amen.
And I want people to remember that as we go forward through this. It may be a little trying at times, and it may get a little. And some of the things I say, I'm sure might get a little far out there. But,
that's also why the radio station and your Facebook page allow for comments to be made.
That's
if
right.
If you feel something else in there, make a comment. Let us know. Call into the show if you want to. We can probably. I can probably get these bills to shut up for 30 seconds.
Hey,
maybe.
Hey, we have a guest call-in number. And about 10 seconds left.
Well,
thank you all, gentle listeners, and call in next time.
Amen.
The end.
Good night and God bless.
God bless you all. I love you all.
Love you too, Rudy.
Thank you.
Have a good Sunday.